Good morning, church. Haven't been up here in a while. So the reading today is from two parts, as Ray said. It's from, first part is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. And I've got it here. In these Bibles, it is page 935 until the next one. Okay. Just remember where that is. Oh, wait, sorry, 936, my bad. Okay, so, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Okay, so it's titled, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on it. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and is tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Nor for after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then the next reading is from Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 36. And it's also titled, Do Not Worry. God really doesn't want us to worry. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than food, and body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory has not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Abby. So beautifully well read this morning. Today, we are welcoming our brother Guy Mayers. In the Bible, it says, pray for your leaders, those who are, in a sense, authority. And being in a position of high commissioner, I know I've spoken on Skype with Brother Guy's pastor, and we kind of in a loving way, in a friendship way, call him the High Commissioner when we see him, and his pastor calls him the High Commissioner. And it's a recognition of who he is, but we've begun to pick up some of the incredible weight that comes with that position. Just what happens in the week. And one day it's Miami visiting the president of his country, or it's ministering and in the cyclones and in the hurricanes, helping and so on, and the huge responsibility that comes with that position, and the family behind supporting. Hannah is right in there, obviously. And so as we welcome Guy this morning to share with us and bring the word of God this morning, I want to encourage us to pray for this family. We are excited about the potential. We've begun to talk about extending our partnership beyond the churches in London and Brixton to St. Lucia. We've got plans. God hopefully will bless those plans in the year, and building bridges. But as we go with that, I want us to pray, as the Bible says, pray for your leaders. God has brought a leader into our church, and we need to pray for him. And we thank God for him. And Guy, we welcome you now to bring them the word of God. Amen. Let's welcome Brother Guy to the pulpit.
Thank you very much, Brother Ray. Good morning to all. And it is really my privilege to be here to share from God's word with you. But first, I want to bring you greetings from Faith Baptist Church in St. Lucia, which is in the Caribbean. The most beautiful country to visit on vacation, especially at this time when it's cold. It's only 8 hours direct flight from London. And so you're very welcome to visit. I've been speaking to Pastor Ray, and as he said, my pastor, Pastor Emmanuel Charles, who has been our pastor for over 40 years, we invited Pastor Ray over to St. Lucia, and we're hoping that we can get a team from East Hill Baptist Church to go with Pastor Ray. I think we even have a date already, that is in September of this year. So those of you who want to save your pennies and your pounds, do so and accompany Pastor Ray on his visit to St. Lucia. I want to thank you for your warm welcome here. My family and I are here serving as St. Lucia's High Commissioner to the UK. Because St. Lucia has been, or is part of the Commonwealth and is a former British colony, I'm referred to as the High Commissioner. But if I was posted in a country outside of the Commonwealth, I would have been called an ambassador. And it is really to represent the interests of St. Lucia here and within Europe. But I also see my responsibility as serving God wherever I go. And so I'm pleased to be able to bring God's word this morning. We've already heard directly from God's word, and I deliberately had two sets of readings. They may have sounded the same, but it is for us to ensure that we understand that God do not want us to worry if we are his children. And so we talk about slaying the giant of worry. And God's word from Matthew chapter 6 and also from Luke chapter 12. Because worry, as has been explained to us, is to be anxious or to be unhappy or concerned about something so that you think about it a lot. Worry is a problem that you are anxious about or that you are not sure how to deal with. Worry in Greek means to be divided. The Greek word merimo is formed by two root words, divided and mind. So worry is to have a divided mind. To worry means to be pulled in different directions. Anxious or anxiety is another byproduct of worry. And being anxious is very worried about something that may happen or may not happen or may happen so that you think about it all the time. Now there is good anxiety, but there is bad worry. Anxiety sometimes causes excitement. You may be waiting to go on a vacation and you're excited and anxious about the date for you to go on your vacation. You may be preparing to get married, or young people may be preparing to go on their first date, so they're anxious about this. That's a worry. It's good excitement. It makes you feel good. But worry causes bad anxiety, the feeling of being very worried about something, and it brings on a feeling of hopelessness that sometimes causes sleeplessness. For example, anxiety among staff about losing their job. Maybe the company you work with may be downsizing, and you're anxious about losing your job. Parents are anxious about their children. Anxiety about your medical results. You may have gone to a doctor, and you're anxious about the result that you're going to get from the doctor. And it makes you even more sick than you were before. Anxiety about the state of your relationships, whatever it is. Anxiety about your finances. Maybe you're out of a job and you can't pay your rent. Maybe your loan is due. You know, people are anxious about the state of the country, terrorism, condition of the world, and we've just heard what's going on with Christians in some parts of the world, and some people become very anxious and worried about it. When your mind is preoccupied with anxiety or worry about a particular matter, sometimes you can't think straight, and it sometimes makes you sick, or it interferes with your relationship with others, or you just cannot function properly. First, one fear or thought pulls you in one direction, then another fear pulls you in another direction. No wonder when you're worrying, you can't sleep. You can't concentrate because your mind and your brain is working overtime and is under tremendous stress, and your mind is in overdrive. How many of us sometimes we lie in bed and we just cannot sleep? Have you ever felt yourself pulled apart by worry? That is why people sometimes resort to taking drugs to calm themselves so that they can sleep or be calm and concentrate. And some go to the extreme. They're so overcome by worry that they commit suicide. I'm sure one of us in here have heard about somebody who has been so worried about something that they have committed suicide. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, Christ asks the question, will your worries add a single moment to your life? The simple truth is that worrying does not add anything positive to our lives. So why do we worry? So, if it does not add, what does it do? What is the opposite of add? It's a trap, isn't it? So, worry can subtract hours from our day. Worries can subtract days from our months, and it can subtract years from our life. Worrying is a bad investment of time and energy, no matter how you look at it. Can you think of one good thing that worry or worrying has added to your life? There is a story of a 95-year-old lady staying at a nursing home who received a visit from a church member. "How are you feeling?" her friend asked. "Oh, I'm just worried sick," she replied. "What are you worried about, my dear?" asked her friend. "You look rather well and healthy today. Are they taking good care of you?" "Oh, yes, they are taking good care of me," she replied. "Are you in pain?" her friend asked. "No, I'm not in pain at all," she replied. "Well then, what in the world are you worried about?" her friend asked again in a puzzled tone. The 95-year-old lady leaned back in her rocking chair, sighed a heavy sigh, then slowly explained the cause of her worry. "Well," she said, "every close friend I've ever had," now don't forget, that's a 95-year-old lady. She said, "every close friend I've ever had has already died and gone to heaven. I'm afraid," hear what her fear is, "I'm afraid they're all wondering where I went." Well, will worrying about that get her to heaven? But she's worried. Worry is harmful. Jesus does not talk about the physical harm or poor physical health worry causes, but he concentrates on the spiritual harm. Worrying makes us like the heathen, the ungodly, and it damages our witness. Can you imagine you call yourself a Christian and you go witnessing to people who are unsaved and all you're doing is complaining about your situation instead of bringing hope to them? What testimony is that? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, it says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Shouldn't a Christian live differently than those who have no relationship with God? Where is our faith? After all, we should be busy about our Heavenly Father's work and building our treasures in heaven. While the ungodly are busy building wealth and trying to look young, we should be about our Father's business. We are reminded of that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. And so, how do we slay this giant called worry? If we focus on giants, whatever they are, we will stumble. But if we focus on God, our giants will tumble. Many people see a giant as too big to hit because they see themselves as victims. But as God's children, we are not victims. We are victors. So we should see ourselves as a victor, and you'll see the giant as being too big to miss. If you want to minimize your giant, you must magnify your God and tell the giant how great your God is. Measure the giant you face against the greatness of God, not against yourself. If you try to do it in your own strength, we will fail. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Let's look at the story of David fighting, this young lad fighting this huge giant called Goliath in Samuel chapter 17, We see that story from verse 1 to 17. We don't have the time to read it this morning. But we see that the giant was clad in all his armor. And David approached him in the name of the Lord. And who won the victory? Not the giant. He was defeated because David did it in the strength of God and not in his own strength. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 26, it reminds us, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." So, are we not much better than the birds? So we see the rest of God's creation. They do not worry, but God provides for them. Will he not do the same for us? Let me share 7 suggestions with you that I think that can help us overcome worry. Number 1, I therefore challenge you to use the example of the bird. Sing and pray your troubles away. God provides for the birds as they sing along and go from tree to tree. They fly from flower to flower, fruit to fruit, seeking food. They sing while they work. They do not stay in one place and say God will provide or complain. Singing and praying while we work will help us focus and meditate on God and avoid worrying. I've never seen a bird with feathers gone gray because of worry or get a heart attack due to worry. Number 2, in verse 28 and 29 of Matthew chapter 6, we advise to bury ourselves in God's work. Don't fret, but bloom. We see the flowers are beautiful when in bloom. There is no beauty in dead flowers. If we are filled with new life that comes from the Son of God, we will bloom and radiate beauty despite the troublesome situations that may be confronting us. When you are in bloom, you will produce the fruits of the Spirit. And when I heard Pastor last week spoke of the problems that Ryan had and Sylvia, I think people like Sylvia, little Sylvia gets it. That despite her ill health, broken bones, falling, she didn't stay fallen. She gets up and she continues to serve God, and it makes her happy that she's serving God. She has gotten it, and I hope all of us can get what it is to be busy about God's work and not be bothered with worry. Number 3, take a look outside and enjoy nature. Look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the fields, the grass, how it grows. Let's stop for a while and enjoy nature. That will take our minds off our problems and worries for a while. Stop and look at the grass. Roll in it if you must. Stop and look at the sunrise, the sunset. Take a deep breath of fresh air. Literally stop and spend some time with God, recognizing his creation and thank him for his creation. Number 4, choose to trust God to provide for us as he has promised in Matthew chapter 6. All of those verses, 26, verse 30, verse 32, and also in Luke. According to Christ, someone who is overcome by worry exercises very little faith. In verse 30, Christ says, "O ye of little faith." The ultimate cause of worry is lack of faith in God. So how do we increase our faith? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible tells us, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, increasing our knowledge of God through reading His Word and hearing His Word, by attending church services and being involved with other Christians, will help increase our faith. An example of faith is found in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 33. We saw that the disciples were in the boat in the midst of the sea, and they were in a storm. And Christ came walking on the water to meet them. And Peter saw Christ walking on the water and asked Christ if he could come to him. And Christ said, come. Peter stepped out of the boat, walking to Christ. Does the Bible tell us that the sea got calm when Peter walked out on the water? No. The sea was still rough. The winds were howling. But what made the difference? Peter kept his eyes on Jesus. And he had faith that Christ would take care of him. So despite all of the storms around us, whatever it is, if we keep our minds and our eyes on Jesus, we will overcome. He came out of the boat walking to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that while he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. But you know what? All of us make that mistake. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop for Christ, and things are going well. We are happy, we sing, and we're all excited. And out of the blues, worry hits us. And we take our eyes off Jesus, and we concentrate on the storms of life that is around us. And as soon as we do that, what happened to Peter? He started to sink. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was successful. He was walking on the water to Jesus in spite of the storm. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he lost his faith and he started to sink. We need to keep focused on God and his work. Number five, we should live in the present. We're told so in verse 34. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Today's troubles is sufficient for us to deal with if we're dealing with today's trouble. So do not add yesterday's trouble, and do not try to add tomorrow's trouble to today's trouble. Don't we do that all the time? When we do that, it will drown us, and it may even kill us, or it may make us mad. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. It didn't say give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread. It said give us this day our daily bread. And even the children of Israel in the Old Testament, when God was providing for them when they were in the wilderness, God provided food for them every day. And he said to them, if they did not use the food, the manna he provided for them for the day, and they tried to save it for tomorrow, it would spoil. Because he wants us to live in the present. The famous writer Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. If we concentrate on serving God and doing what he wants us to do today, we can overcome. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me read you a poem, and I don't know who the author of that poem is, because it says is unknown, but the poem is entitled Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. There are 2 days in every week that we should not worry about. 2 days that should be kept free from fear and apprehension. One is yesterday, with its mistakes and cares, its faults and blunders, its aches and pains. Yesterday has passed forever beyond our control. Can we go back to yesterday? Only in the movies, in a time machine. And it's not a reality. All the money in the world cannot bring back yesterday. We cannot undo a single act we performed, nor can we erase a single word we have said, because yesterday is gone. Wishing you had done this or that differently will not bring it back. So, we should start doing it differently from today. The other day we shouldn't worry about is tomorrow, with its impossible adversaries, its burdens, its hopeful promise, and poor performance. Tomorrow is beyond our control. Who says we will see tomorrow? Any of us in here are sure we will see tomorrow? Tomorrow's sun will rise, either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it will rise. And until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for tomorrow is yet unborn. This leaves only one day, and that is today. Any person can fight the battle of just one day. It is only when we add the burdens of yesterday and the burdens which we hope will become or will come tomorrow that we will break down. It is not the experience of today that drives people mad. It is the remorse of bitterness for something which happened yesterday and the dread of what tomorrow will bring. Let us therefore live one day at a time. And the author of that poem is unknown. But if we seek first anything other than God's will, we put ourselves in the path of worry. First, the object of our seeking is the kingdom of God, and is to please God. Second, his righteousness. We must mind heaven as our end and holiness as our way. Let's remember, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Let the care of your soul and another world, which is heaven, take the place of all other cares. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says, "Oh, what a blessed change would it make in our hearts and lives did we but firmly believe this truth, that the best way to be comfortably provided for in this world is to be most intent upon another world. We then begin at the right end of our work when we begin with God." And number 7, to get rid or to slay this giant of worry, we are reminded, in everything, give thanks. How possible or practical is this? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we're reminded to pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, it says, "In everything, give thanks." It didn't say only in the good things. It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Job, when he was going through all his problems, he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the attitude we need to have if we are going to slay this giant of worry. If we want to slay that giant of worry, we have a privilege as God's people to take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the difference that should exist between us and the ungodly. So as I close, let me close with the scripture passage. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, from verse 6 to 9, which I think brings it all together. And it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers, and I'll add, and sisters, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be in you. Now, if the God of peace is in you, you can't be worrying. It's either one or the other. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we're reminded, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. If God cares for us and reminds us throughout his word of all of those issues, then why are we worrying? Let us cast our cares on him. Now, the only way we can do that is if we trust, first of all, that we trust Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. When we are in Christ, we are protected. So if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, this is the first thing you need to do. Ask Christ to come into your heart and save you and protect you, and he will help you to deal with and to slay this giant of worry in your life. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. How practical, how brilliant is God's word. And Brother Guy, we thank you for that today. We continue now as we come to prepare for the communion, and we'd invite those that are coming up at this time to come to the communion table. Thank you.